My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have finally made it. We have made it to the other side. I believe it is Colin Cowherd that says, there are two seasons. There are football season, and then it is waiting for football season. We have now made it on the other side of waiting for football season. Yes, we got some appetizers with college football. We have some great college football this weekend. Baseball has been great here in Kansas City. The Olympics have been spectacular as well. The NFL is back, and it is starting today in Kansas City as the Baltimore Ravens come to Kansas City to play the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. That game kicks off later today at Arrowhead Stadium. We have a lot to get into. We are off early today because the Chiefs pregame. Special shout-out to those of you that are going out to the game later today. Thank you for having us tuned in on your radio dial. We appreciate you making us a part of your pregame festivities. We will get to the Chiefs coming up in just a bit, but you guys know how we got to kick things off today. It's giving you a chance to win a prize.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6 to 913-586-7965. Excuse me. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. So whether in the mood for a whole pie or just a slice or two will be fine. Be sure to visit now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. If you're excited about the start of the NFL season and you also want some spectacular pizza to watch the NFL, the best place to do that is with us right here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We are finally here. We are going to break this game down over the course of the next couple of hours. Let's start with this. This season to me is about doing something that no one has ever done before. The Chiefs, in my opinion, have been one of the greatest dynasties in the history of the league. The history books are filled with teams who have planted their flag to let you know that this is our generation, whether it was the Steelers in the 70s, the San Francisco 49ers in the 80s, the Cowboys in the 90s, the Patriots over the last 20 years or so. Every generation in the NFL has that team that everybody else has to try to catch, that everybody else's success is measured up against, the team that you were trying to figure out. We played for you guys a couple of days ago the comments of Marcus Spears and how difficult it has been to win a championship if you are not on the Kansas City Chiefs. Very simply, the only pathway to winning a Super Bowl over the course of the last 8 years or so has been you either play with Patrick Mahomes or you play with Tom Brady. That's how great both of those individuals have been. But why I think this season is about doing something that no one has ever done before. Up to this point, there is a team that can say we have done what the Chiefs have done. There are not many teams, but there are some. There have been 8 teams in the history of the NFL to win back-to-back Super Bowls. There are 8 franchises that know the feeling that you have about being the best, being on top, having the anticipation and hope of catching that elusive three-peat. In college football, there have been 4 teams that have won back-to-back championships. The Georgia Bulldogs was that team most recently. There are a small, select, elite group of teams that have been able to say that we are back-to-back champions. There is not a single one that can say in college football at this level or the NFL that can say we have been the best team in our respective sport for 3 consecutive years. That's what this season is about, in my opinion. It is about doing something that no one has ever done before. And I think we know enough about Patrick Mahomes and the kind of student of the game that he's been. He's someone who is very mindful of that. We've seen the video and audio while on the stage celebrating his 3rd championship. He is already telling Chris Jones, I want to go back to back to back. How do you keep that same motivation? How do you keep that hunger? How do you keep the fire alive? It is having something in front of you that you can put on your resume, that you can put on your football checklist, that you did something that Peyton Manning couldn't do, that Tom Brady couldn't do, that the greatest quarterbacks and greatest players in the history of the NFL have been unable to accomplish. So, Rob, as we kick things off today, and we will get to the Raven side of this here coming up in just a bit, this season to me is about a couple of different things. It's about the return of Aaron Rodgers and can he get the Jets to being a championship contender? The Detroit Lions have a realistic chance of going to and winning the Super Bowl. There's a handful of about 3 to 5 storylines heading into the year. There is not a storyline bigger than Kansas City's pursuit for football immortality. If the Chiefs win this Super Bowl this upcoming season, they are the greatest dynasty in the history of the National Football League. We're talking about 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, and you went back to back to back. You are ahead of the Patriots. You are ahead of the 90s Cowboys. You are ahead of the Steelers of the 70s and the San Francisco 49ers of the 80s. If the Chiefs win this Super Bowl, and they are 20-something games away from doing that, they can call themselves the greatest team that we have ever seen before. That is a motivating factor to everybody in that room. That's a motivating factor to Patrick Mahomes. If you're Andy Reid and you want to make the argument that you are greater than Bill Belichick, that's how you do it. If you are Travis Kelce, while you continue to play this game, despite the fact that you are dating the most famous woman in the world and just signed a podcast deal that got you and your brother $100 million, you come back to play in games like this where everybody is watching. You come back to play in seasons like that where you have a chance, Rob, to do something that no one has ever done before.
It is going to be a microscope on the Kansas City Chiefs from a national media standpoint to which we have never seen. I was listening to Ross Tucker the other day on Cody and Gold when I was driving into work, And he mentioned how the Chiefs are kind of out of the Nationals talking storylines yet last year, like weeks 7, 8, 9, 10. No one was talking Chiefs. It was kind of because they were going through their struggles. And then they kind of just came out of nowhere. And the national media was a little bit surprised. I would say I was a little bit surprised. I was down on the team last year. That is not a situation that's going to happen this year. Patrick Mahomes, in that moment you talked about, on the stage in Vegas, talking to Chris Jones, invited this level of scrutiny for every single game. Now, it's more than just trying to win a Super Bowl. It's more than just trying to go back to back to back. The level of scrutiny, the microscope this team is under, is something we may have never felt ever as NFL fans. And it's not just the cap. It's not just bad drafts. It's not the war of attrition. It's not injuries that have kept teams from three-peats. It is a little bit of everything, including the microscope they are under this year. I'm fascinated how the Chiefs handle it, because you could argue they are better suited for it than any team previous, because their tight end is dating the most popular woman on earth, because their quarterback's one of the 15 to 20 most popular men in the world, because of the fact that they're a little bit of middle America. It's not like the New York Daily News is every day pestering you. It is a team that is equipped to handle all the outside noise, but don't get it twisted. This year, as they chase history, there will be more outside noise than ever before. We're going to be in week 6, and Colin Cowherd is going to say something. The text line's going to blow up. But it's not just Cowherd this year. It's going to be Cowherd, Parkins. It's going to be Nick Wright. It's going to be Stephen A. Smith. Every time the Chiefs play, it's going to be cowboy level of microscope behavior, and that could crack teams. I think this team can handle that.
There are a lot of teams that have their why we lost to the Chiefs story, or how Patrick Mahomes got away from us. Remember on Scooby-Doo, we wouldn't have got away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids. Well, we would have got a ring if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot of teams that have that story. The Eagles have that story. The Bills have that story. The Bengals have that story. Man, the Ravens should have beat the Chiefs last year. At least that's the way they are looking at it. The Chiefs didn't score on their final 9 possessions of the game. The Ravens are about to score a touchdown, and Zay Flowers fumbles the ball heading into the end zone. They ran 6 rushing plays for their 2 running backs in the game. Like, you want to talk about a team that has had this game circled and is coming to Kansas City with revenge on their hearts. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Sure, you can never wipe away losing in the AFC Championship game with a regular season win against the Kansas City Chiefs. And greatness is not defined in September. It is defined in January and February. But man, if you are Baltimore, they have been living with this loss for 6 months. Playing the what-if game, the shoulda, coulda, woulda game, we were almost there. If you want to talk about a team that has made a move directly to respond to the Kansas City Chiefs, you guys remember a couple of years ago where Von Miller went to the Buffalo Bills. That was to try to beat Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens saw what they did wrong against the Kansas City Chiefs and have decided to lean into it more and go get Derrick Henry. They were the number one rushing team last year in the NFL. For some reason, they called 6 running plays for their running backs. You go get Derrick Henry because you think he can help you win a ground and pound game late in the season. You go get Derrick Henry to give him the ball 15 to 20 times. He's not going to be sparingly used. The Chiefs are very familiar with Lamar Jackson. They are very familiar with Derrick Henry. This is going to be a team that you're not just going to see in September. This is also going to be a team you see whenever it gets cold. Coming up on the other side, we had Mitch Holtis on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said something that has stuck with me over the course of the last couple of weeks. I'll tell you what it is. We're getting ready for week 1 here on The Drive. Keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
A couple of weeks ago, actually day 1 of making the switch over to 96.5 The Fan, we sat down with Mitch Holtis, and Mitch Holtis said a couple of statistics that have really stuck with me over the course of the last couple of weeks, and I'm so inclined to play it for you. Here is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, the legendary voice. Here's some stats that Mitch Holtz has told me a couple of weeks ago.
But I will tell you, the Chiefs are better. This is a better team than they were a year ago. Because I asked this question, we'll do this discussion again before the season starts probably. You think the Chiefs are going to go 4-4 at home? You think the Chiefs are going to go minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway? Think the Chiefs are going to have 45 drops? And the third level's open for business again? Just put all those things and put it and go, maybe not. Think they're going to have to face a December where they had to face five straight opponents with 9 or 14 days rest? No. I'm telling you, it's on. It's on. But the rest of the division will be better. I agree with that. But so are the Chiefs.
That was Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He makes some fantastic points about this team heading into this season. I believe the Chiefs are better at every position than they were a season ago, aside from corner. We talked a lot about corner yesterday. Now, they're not better at quarterback than they were last season. But running back-wise, I think there's a chance that they're better at running back this year. Isaiah Pacheco continues to be one of the better running backs in the league, but I do like Carson Steele. I think the addition of Piran can be that Jerick McKinnon type that can catch it out of the backfield. We'll see with their offensive line. Their offensive line cannot be more penalized than it was last year. They were the most penalized offensive line in the National Football League. We don't have to talk about the wide receiver room. Their wide receiver room right now. Let's say the Hollywood Brown doesn't play a single snap of football this season. Their wide receiver room in week one is better than it was at any point than it was last season. You now know what Rashee Rice is. The return of Juju Smith-Schuster. You got Mecole Hardman here off the jump. Justin Watson. Their wide receiver room is already better than it was a year ago. You could argue that their tight end room is better because of a draft pick that you made and now knowing how to manage Travis Kelce's body a little bit better. We can go up and down this roster. I think the Chiefs are better and more complete in almost every single area than they were last year. I don't think they're going to have the lulls offensively this season that they had last year. With the great Patrick Mahomes, with the great Travis Kelce, and all the advantages that the Chiefs have as an organization, the Chiefs last season were 17th in points scored. By definition, the 2023 Kansas City Chiefs were below average offensively. You have now fixed that problem. I think we are talking about a team that is top 10 offensively and defensively. So if you can score and stop the other team from scoring, and you're also going to be well coached, and you got the best quarterback and best player in the game, you tell me how you beat the Kansas City Chiefs. It is going to take some combination of injuries to knock out the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to take you, the opponent, playing your A-plus or A-level game to do so. And it's going to take the Chiefs having a bad night. I think at the end of this season, we could be talking about the most complete Chiefs team that we've seen. I think the team that lost to Tampa Bay is actually the best team that they've had. They just fell apart at the end because of injuries on the offensive line. I think this team has a chance to be as good and as talented as that team if that wide receiver room comes together the way that we think it can, if that cornerback room develops the way that the Chiefs believe it can be. Rob, we are talking about one of the most complete teams that we've seen during the Mahomes era.
What Mitch Holtish has explained there, a fancy term for it is good regression. The Chiefs are too good of a team to be, what do you say, 4-4 at home? That ain't happening at Arrowhead ever again. Now, A, the schedule is just easier this year at Arrowhead than last year. But B, it's not happening again. Minus 11 in takeaways? Minus 11. Like, that would imply that the defense isn't taking the ball away from anyone, which last year's defense, despite all its greatness, didn't do that. And the Chiefs are going to hemorrhage the ball. That's not happening again. Like, those things are going to regress back to the norm, and you're going to see positive regression. I don't know if this Chiefs team is as good as that 2020 team. I agree with you. That team that lost the Bucks is the best version of the Chiefs I've seen. Maybe this team's not as good as that team, but this team has a chance to look more like the 2022 Chiefs. And the 2022 Chiefs were what? The one seed in the AFC, went to the Super Bowl and beat a good Eagles team. That's how I think this Chiefs team can be. And that's why if you're the Ravens, and we've talked about it a lot this week, or the Bills or any team, you have to be kicking yourself, because every stat Mitch Holtis laid out shows you that last year was the year to get the Chiefs. Their wide receiver room featured me, you, bums, scrubs, plumbers, whatever J.J. Redick said about Bob Cousy's era, it was those guys. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl. It was 4-4 at Arrowhead, one of the more difficult places in the NFL to go win. They were 500 at home. That's not everyone goes 500 at home. That's bad. The Panthers had two home wins. Like, that's bad by the Chiefs. Still, they won the Super Bowl. They were turning the ball over, right? We've never seen before. Kadarius Toney may have been playing for FanDuel last season, and it doesn't matter because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Mitch is right. Some of those stats are going to be positive regression, and you're going to see more normalcy in the Chiefs. The schedule, I don't want to get in the minutiae of the schedule thing with the December. Their December schedule also is weird again this year, but that's going to be the case every year when you're the Chiefs. But it's not going to be as brutal, to his point. So there is a lot of reason for optimism, and some of that reason is just if the Chiefs get back to looking like regular, the Chiefs are going to be a light years better.
I think we know that the drops are going to be improved from this year than last year. I think that goes without saying. I think Mahomes is going to be better with the football this year than he was last year. I mean, last season, Patrick Mahomes was fourth in the NFL in interceptions. The only quarterbacks that threw more interceptions than he did last year in the regular season was Sam Howell, who is not a starter in the league, Josh Allen, who is a turnover machine, and Jalen Hurts, who significantly regressed from 2022 to 2023. So I expect the Chiefs to be a lot better at protecting the football because of Mahomes' mistakes, and they had plenty of other mistakes on their offense. I mean, there are only three teams that were worse in the turnover differential than they were: Atlanta, Minnesota, and Washington. All three of those teams changed quarterbacks at the end of the season. They also were tied with New England, another team that changed their quarterback at the end of the season. So if you were just looking at some very simple ways that the Chiefs are going to improve and be a better team this upcoming season, they were 4-4 last year at home. They were a 500 team at one of the most difficult places to play. I also just think they're going to be a lot better at protecting the football this season than they were last year. I don't expect those numbers to continue for the Chiefs. I want to take a little bit of a diversion here, Rob, and I want to ask you a very important question, and we'll get back to specifically the Chiefs here coming up in a bit. I am excited that football is back. You are excited that football is back. I want you to play the song for me, the music that when you hear this song, you instantly think football is back. Because I don't know what your song is, so I asked you to do this before the start of the show. You know, football is back. Some of you were driving to the stadium. You got your Red Kingdom playing. You got your Hood Go Crazy by Tech N9ne. I don't know what you're listening to get pumped up for the game. Rob, I want you to play the song that when you hear this, it screams football is back.
Carrington, I know the NFL's back today. We're all excited. The Chiefs are playing the whole deal. But before Roger Goodell went on a conquest to take over every day of the week, which, by the way, the Chiefs will play on every day of the week this year except for a Tuesday. Before that conquest began for Roger Goodell, that first Saturday when the CBS Game of the Week 2:30 SEC was there, it was, oh, we are back. Because, and we saw it last week, we grew up in the era where week one in college football was Missouri plays Murray State, Kansas plays Lindenwood, and Kansas State plays UT Martin. It's a lot of the same. But that week two, South Carolina, Georgia, you saw a random Alabama versus Kentucky pop up. There was a conference game, and it was usually a middling team at home against a power on the road. And it felt like game day was always there because it was the marquee game of the weekend. And you heard that song, and you just knew, woo, football is back. The NFL is tomorrow. Boy, am I excited.
I'm surprised that you picked a college football song, because usually by week two or week three, it was basketball season for you for most of your childhood. So I'm just surprised that the song of the fall for you is a college football song, because you haven't had that many enjoyable college football seasons in your life. That's the thing with UKU fans. You guys just got good a week ago, and now you're telling me these deep, eloquent stories about how you enjoyed Saturdays in the fall. No, Saturdays in the fall for you were Target time. That's what it was. You and your wife, you went to Target to get the shopping done around 1 o'clock because your team was getting smoked. That's how you've spent most of your time. All right, I'm going to play you my song here. Text line 913-586-7965. Tell me the song that when you hear this, it screams, football is back. Rob, if you can you play my song for me? This song is appropriate for football is back. Rob, I see you looking puzzled at me. I see you looking confused. Let me explain why this song screams football is back to me. When you hear this song, you know Dak Prescott just threw an interception. He maybe threw a pick six. When you hear that song, play it again for me, Rob. When you hear this song, you hear Packers 24, Cowboys 13. We'll be back.
But you also hear this song when it's now no longer Joe Buck, but at the time, you'd also hear Joe Buck say, and they're getting the cart. You are synonymous with football when a player is hurt, when an injury has occurred. Come on now, this goes to break, and Greg Olsen used to be like, oh man, that doesn't look good. We'll be back.
It is always.
Yeah, it's the most grim song you could have picked.
When you hear this song on Fox, there's only a couple of outcomes. An interception has been thrown. Somebody's leg is broken. There's no in the middle. They don't play this when it's a 7-7 ball game on Fox. No. Your starting running back just broke his fibula. That's what happened. That's not good. We'll be back.
I mean, it's always that song is synonymous with pain and discomfort.
Someone on the text line says, I've never heard that song before. If you've ever watched a football game on Fox, you've heard that song a million times. I'm telling you, when you see Dak, watch on Sunday with Tom Brady, whenever Deshaun Watson in the third quarter, when he has 101 passing yards and two touchdowns, oh no, they're going to play it. That's how you know football is back, baby.
That, or you'll see, you know, Watson has a really bad passing day. And he hits the sideline and spikes his helmet.
Oh,
and then
definitely.
That music fades out. It's like there's clearly some frustration boiling over with the Browns.
Slow
and then that
motion
song plays.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Slow motion. You also want to know how I know football is back. And we'll get back to the Chiefs here in a little bit. You want to know how I know football is back? I know it like 6:54 on Sunday. I'll just be watching Sunday 60 Minutes. I've never seen 60 Minutes in April. Have no clue what they do on 60 Minutes in April. It could be the most exciting show. But boy, every October I catch myself watching 60 Minutes and I think to myself, man, this show's kind of good. I actually really enjoy this show. I actually really appreciate this show. This show's fun.
And well, I mean, in the same vein, you know the Fox Weekend lineup is going to show some promos for shows that are just trash. Ghosts this Tuesday on Fox. Why do we have this commercial? Young Sheldon back again. Why? Ooh. Why do we need that in our lives? Here's some random animated show that you'll be not watching on Sunday at Fox. Come on. I wish there was a way for these networks to just not promote their bad content during NFL games.
That's the best time to do it. That's the best time to do it. The best time to promote your new shows. You know what I'm not watching? I'm not watching The Equalizer with Queen Latifah. No, I'm not interested in that. CBS, you know I am not interested in that. You guys, let us know on the text line, 913-586-7965, what song you hear and it instantly transports you to football season. We're excited about football here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's get back to the Chiefs. Let's get back to the Ravens. I do have another question to ask you guys. There is a stat right now regarding Lamar Jackson. And the stat is that Lamar in his career, the Ravens are 10-4 when he is an underdog. Now, the Ravens have been, I would argue, one of the five best teams in the NFL, at least in the regular season, over Lamar's career. There's some people picking them to win this game, but for the most part, a lot of people are predicting a Chiefs win. I am predicting a Chiefs win. I don't think you are coming into Arrowhead in back-to-back years on we won the Super Bowl day, and I don't think you're catching them. Think about everything it took last season for the Chiefs to lose to the Detroit Lions. It took an insane amount of drops for that to be the case. It took an injury to Travis Kelce and him not playing for that to be the case. It took Chris Jones being a fan at the game in order for the Lions to win. Now, the Lions went on to be a good team. They went to the NFC Championship game. They probably should have went to the Super Bowl. Salute to the Detroit Lions. It took a lot of things to happen in that game in order for Detroit to win. I don't think all of those things line themselves up today. But if you follow trends, if you believe this thing, and that's why I'm asking you this question, Rob, the trends say Ravens got a good shot at winning this game. I'm really torn, at least when it comes to how important this stat is. Because there are a lot of teams in the league that if the Ravens were the underdog, you would jump all over it. They're playing one of the few teams that you kind of got to pause and hesitate and say, I don't know. I remember last year, remember the Christmas game? They went on the road and they played San Francisco. A lot of us thought San Francisco was the best team in the league and they were going to win that game. And the Ravens went in there and put it on the Niners and really got you to think that the Ravens could win the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, the Chiefs came through and stopped that. But the stat, Rob, is the Ravens are 10-4 with Lamar Jackson in games in which they are the underdog. Do you think that's something or nothing heading into tonight's game?
It's definitely something. Like, I know and I understand why this show has been talking about the Chiefs. The Chiefs are better. The Chiefs are going to do this. The Chiefs are going to do that. It's the Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champs, and they're opening the season by raising another banner. I mean, all the stuff. I understand all that. But, Carrington, don't get it twisted. The Ravens are a good football team, and they are dangerous. I know that they lost last night's title game at home to Patrick Mahomes because they lost their way and decided that their own game plan doesn't work. We're throwing it out despite it being a one-score game. But the Ravens were, what, the best in the AFC last year? They were the one seed for a reason. They got the double bye for a reason. They were putting it on people last year, including that game in San Francisco on Christmas Day. They didn't just beat the Niners. They beat the Niners. And they have the defending MVP. Like, this is not, we made college football jokes earlier, this is not you get your cupcake in week one, you raise a banner, and you party. This is not Michigan last Saturday. Hey, we get Fresno State, and it's a 60-minute party because we're the defending champs. This is a very good football team, and I think that stat is something because they have a good coach, and they have a good quarterback, and good coaches and good quarterbacks tend to win games even when the odds are against them, and tonight the odds are against them, albeit just 3 points. I think there is something to that stat without trying to overvalue it.
I think it's something to the stat for this reason. I think the Ravens do something that translates on the road. The Ravens run the ball super effectively. They also play really good defense. Now, Rob, you and I have had enough conversations that I know you don't really value running the football and what it can do. But of any team in the National Football League, the Ravens were the best team at running the ball last year. We also would, in theory, think that they have improved at running the football this year because you have added Derrick Henry. No disrespect to Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, but when you add a future, we believe, Hall of Fame running back in Derrick Henry, you expect a boost in the run game, especially in short yardage scenarios. That RPO run pass option with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry could be one of the most dangerous ones that we have seen in the history of the National Football League if they can really get this thing going. So if you can run the football the way that the Ravens historically can run the ball with Lamar Jackson, and you're also one of the better defensive teams, it makes sense to me how in a game like this, where you are a 2-point underdog, 3-point underdog, you can give yourself the advantage by doing the little things correctly. Where I think the Chiefs have a major advantage in this game is these two teams know each other. This is the 6th time that Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes have gone up against one another. And the only time that the Ravens have won the game was a home game in Baltimore during COVID. So the Chiefs obviously know this team very well. They know Lamar's strengths and weaknesses. This team does have a little bit more firepower than we've seen some of the other Ravens teams. They got a legitimate number one wide receiver in Zay Flowers, who had a very productive rookie year. We talked about the addition of Derrick Henry. This is a good football team. I think the Ravens are making the postseason. I think they're one of the Super Bowl contenders in the league. I just find it really hard to beat a Kansas City team that comes into this game mostly healthy. I am picking the Chiefs every game this year if injuries are not a concern. They could lose, but if you were telling me going into it that the Chiefs get probably an A, if we had to give a grade on terms of health where they are, I know they don't have Hollywood Brown, but there's certainly enough cooks in the kitchen. There are enough wide receivers for this game. I think they're going to be able to manage the 2, maybe 3 weeks that you don't have Hollywood Brown. I don't see his injury as really crippling on why the Chiefs would lose this game.
I also think, and I agree with you, when the Chiefs are healthy, the Chiefs are probably the best in the NFL. But I think this game, and why that stat is something to me, is this game is a lot different than last year's opener. Like, Carrington, usually in the opener, and we talked about it last year, it's like the trendy up-and-coming, hey, watch out for, we think this team can take a step forward against the bully of football. Remember the year, the first year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, they played the Texans, and the Texans were a team that lost in the divisional round of the Chiefs, but everyone thought Deshaun's back, they're going to be a threat. The Chiefs took care of business. It's usually that type of game. It's not, hey, the defending Super Bowl champs are taking on the best team in the AFC from last season. Like, that is not usually how it goes. Remember the Bucks when they beat the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. They played the Cowboys the ensuing year in the opener. Everyone thought the Cowboys took a step forward. It's usually the plucky team we think's making a step. I don't think the Chiefs are losing tonight, but I could see a scenario where they do because the quality of opponent is just different than in years past.
Coming up on the other side, someone just texted in, hey, I really need you guys' help. FanDuel is offering a no-sweat bet and a 50% boost for tonight. There's actually a handful of boosts across the gambling apps. Rob, why don't we help some people out? You get a free chance to bet. The casino rarely gives you a bet-free coupon. Let's try to help you guys win a little bit of money. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we'll get back to the game specifically coming up at the top of the hour, but I want to give you guys a chance to win a little bit of money. Now, some of you like to use the gambling apps. I like to dabble in them myself. If you are someone that likes to do that, boy, they are giving you every reason to with the start of football. They are giving you no sweat bets. So basically, for those of you that don't gamble, it means if you place a wager, let's say you think that the Chiefs are going to win today. You place a wager. If they win, they'll pay you your money. If you lose, they will give you your money back. It is a no sweat bet. So you might as well take the free roll today. So I've already loaded my stuff in. Rob, you've loaded your stuff in. I'll tell you guys specifically what I've taken later on in the show, but there are a couple of different boosts for today. Let's help people with that. There right now is a boost. It is basically double your money. You get Travis Kelce and Derrick Henry to score a touchdown. If either of them or both of them score a touchdown, you double your money. Rob, are you taking the Kelce and Derrick Henry boost?
Okay, so first and foremost, I want to say this. We were talking about gambling earlier this week in the office. And what I say, I said, boosts like this are sucker plays. I like to take, you know, it's like, oh, Justin Jefferson to have 90 yards boosted from minus 185 to plus 100. The casino knows what's happening, so I don't tend to take these. I tend to avoid them. They tend to be loser bets. Having said all that, I took tonight's boost. I took Kelce or Henry to score a touchdown plus 100. I just feel like Travis Kelce did not play in the opener last year, and he battled injury most of the season. We are now seeing him at full strength during the opener, and when he was at battling injury mode in the postseason, he made Kyle Hamilton look bad. I can't imagine when he's healthy it's going to not happen again. And the Ravens are not getting shut out tonight, and the way they score is not Lamar throwing touchdowns to Zay Flowers. It's King Henry gets to the goal line on 3rd and 2 and powers home. So I historically think these are sucker bets, but I'm playing it tonight. I'm on it tonight, plus 100.
I am a little worried by this. Travis Kelce, the second half of last season, didn't score a whole lot of touchdowns last year. He only had five last season. Now, I don't know if he was ever fully healthy at any point last season. No reason to think that he's super banged up today. But Travis Kelce did not score a touchdown in the final six games that he played in 2023. I personally am staying away from this. It is probably the right thing to do, especially because you get the two best offensive players on both sides. But anytime they got a big bright sign that says, take this, I try not to listen to them. I personally would stay away, but Rob is saying to take it. They also have another boost today. They're giving you a no-sweat touchdown bet for every day that there is NFL action this week. So over the next 4 days, because, you know, they're counting Monday as this week, you get to bet on one player that day to score a touchdown. If you get it right, they'll pay you. If they don't, they'll give you your money back. Rob, for today's game, who is the one player that you were going to bet on? What's the bet you would make to score a touchdown?
Ooh, so I am playing this boost, and here's how I would play. I'll give you my answer. I'm not trying to sidestep the conversation.
Here you
but
go.
But if you play this boost, you get four tokens.
Yep.
You get four. So you can play one tonight. You can play one tomorrow night for the Brazil game. You can
play one.
You can do whatever you want. So for tonight, the way I would play it is I'm taking a long shot tonight to be a touchdown scorer to try to make some big money. So tonight I have first touchdown scorer. I have Rashee Rice plus 1,000, first touchdown scorer. I think a little crossing route around the goal line, Rashee Rice, touchdown, plus 1,000. If I lose, I get my money back. If I win, it's plus 1,000, so I'm making some nice money. I think you play a long shot tonight with this no sweat, and then as the week goes on, if you miss a couple of them, you get the no sweats, but then you got to be a little more strategic with your plays.
I think the best play with the no sweat touchdowns are, I think you have to play one first touchdown in each of the 4 days. And if you get one of them correct, it pays for itself. You just got to get, you give yourself four chances. If you take four chances and you hit one of them, you're good. And then anything else is a free roll, and then you can go and do whatever you want. So I think you have to take it. If you had to give me one touchdown bet for today, I also did take Rashee Rice to score the first touchdown. Just, he's their number one wide receiver. It's 10-1 odds. Why would you not take it? I also like Isaiah Pacheco to score the first touchdown in the game. They get down in the red zone. They run the ball to him, plus 600, put 10, turn it into $70. I'm going to take Isaiah Pacheco plus 600 to score the first touchdown of the game. I also don't think that Mark Andrews, if you want to bet on the other side, but I imagine many of you don't want to bet on the Ravens, Mark Andrews at 13-1 feels really good to score the first touchdown of the game too. You know, if there's one thing you know about the Chiefs, boy, they love getting down early in these games. And they also never receive it. So Baltimore is going to get the ball first anyway. So if you want to take a Ravens play, I would suggest Mark Andrews at 13-1.
Would you be interested in Isaiah Likely? Because we had Tim Barblais on the show yesterday.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are high on Isaiah Likely. I'm not touching it, but I know a lot of people that are high on him coming into
season. Isaiah Likely.
30-1.
Yeah, 30-1. Or if you just get him as an anytime, it's plus 550. Yeah. Like, plus 550 for an anytime. Tim Barbalace on this show yesterday said he thinks Isaiah Likely is going to have a major impact on the Ravens this season. You know how you start making a major impact on the Ravens? You have a good first game of the season, the same way Sam LaPorta felt like, oh, he's going to be something special after week one. I don't think that's a bad anytime play. But again, I get why people wouldn't be betting Ravens tonight.
And that is, you know, just trying to help you guys out here with a couple of different bets. You can fade the music down, Rob. Let me ask you this question regarding the Chiefs and the Ravens. So, Jerry Wiley, rookie tight end. A lot of people are excited about him. Certainly understandable why people are high on him coming into the season. Do you think he can turn into Isaiah Likely for this team, or do you think they have just too many different options? I mean, last year, Isaiah Likely had 30 catches for 411 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's a legitimate number 2 tight end. You got Mark Andrews, who's probably one of the 5 best tight ends in the National Football League. And then you got a young guy in Isaiah Likely that at any moment you feel is capable to come in, step up. Also a mid-round pick. Isaiah Likely was a 4th-round pick, pick 139 back in 22. So the Ravens, they are very much like the Chiefs. They draft well. They develop well. They build and create depth very well for their roster. Is that kind of what you're hoping, at least in the short term, that Jared Wiley turns out to be, that he can be Isaiah Likely, who has proven to be a legit 1B or maybe number two to Mark Andrews as the 1A?
I think that's kind of the long-term goal, but I don't know he's that this year. I still think Noah Gray isn't blocking him from being that guy this season. Like, one of the reasons Isaiah Likely is a trendy name in the NFL is that he's a guy where you can see there's an heir apparent after Mark Andrews. When Mark Andrews got hurt last year, Isaiah Likely was good for the Ravens. Like, that is part of why people think he's next up. And I think Jarrett Wiley could be that guy in Kansas City, but just, it's the depth chart game, Carrington. I think he's behind Noah Gray. And if you're behind Noah Gray, I have a hard time believing that he can be Isaiah Likely this season. I believe that's the Chiefs' long-term goal, but I don't know he's that in 2024.
So we'll certainly see. I do think there's reasons to be excited about this rookie class aside from Xavier Worthy. I get the excitement for Xavier Worthy. First round pick, speedster, wide receiver, really fits what the Chiefs didn't have. I think they've created some pretty decent depth for them with their rookie class with Jared Hicks on the other side of the ball and also Jarrett Wiley. I think both of those guys have a chance to be contributors for the Chiefs this season. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes, we talked about the team aspect of it, that the Chiefs have a chance to do something that no pro or college football team at this level have done. There have been 8 teams in the NFL that have won back-to-back. There have been 4 college football teams that have won 2 consecutive championships. This is Mahomes' only pathway to being considered the greatest. I'll explain. Keep it right.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Here's the drive. Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful week one as we get ready for Chiefs and Ravens. That game kicks up in just a bit. All right, this is what I would like to talk about here for the next couple of minutes. I completely understand if you are someone that says Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback that I have ever seen. I get it. I've made the analogy before. I guess the point is not an analogy. Let's say that your son is 8 years old and is just starting to get into football. If you show him Tom Brady highlights, I don't think he's going to get it. When you tell him, hey, he's the best quarterback of all time, if you show somebody who's not super familiar with football, I don't know if they get it. Some players just pop off the screen. You don't have to know much about football to know that Barry Sanders is different. You can just see it. You don't have to love basketball to appreciate Steph Curry and his artistry and where he can pull up from. Mahomes just jumps off the screen. He plays a style that doesn't feel approachable in the way that Brady's style is. But because of Brady's resume, and I don't think that Brady has too many holes in his resume, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's not the greatest quarterback all time because of what we've seen. He is the greatest quarterback of all time because of what he has done. If you are Patrick Mahomes and you want that argument of being the greatest quarterback of all time, you have to put something on your resume that Tom Brady hasn't. Tom Brady has placed just about everything that you could put on your resume. We didn't think that you could go undefeated. Tom Brady went undefeated in a regular season. We didn't think that you could go to so many Super Bowls. Tom Brady did. You didn't think that Tom Brady could leave New England, do it without Bill Belichick, and win a championship in Tampa Bay. He did it. Almost any question that you have asked of Tom Brady other than can you beat Eli Manning in a postseason game, he has checked that box off his list. There is one he didn't. There is one that no one has been able to check off their box. That's what Patrick can do. I don't know if Patrick catches Tom Brady in terms of number of championships won or played in. That's going to be really, really hard to do. And I think in any conversation, Pat's going to lose the tiebreaker because you've played Tom Brady's teams in two postseason games and you lost both of them. Like, if you didn't watch both of them play and you just go on Google and you look up both of them and you see that Tom Brady is 2-0 against Mahomes in the postseason, I'm sorry, that's kind of the checkmate in this argument. Even if you think LeBron is better than Michael Jordan, the fact that Michael Jordan has never lost a championship and LeBron has lost so many, that's kind of the deciding and determining factor in this. If Patrick Mahomes really wants to go down as the greatest, he's already one of the greats. Patrick Mahomes could stop playing football right now and say that he wants to be a stay-at-home father and he wants to, on the side, do a podcast. I'm done playing football. He would go down as one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. We're talking about being number one on the list. We're talking about being the greatest. And I think the only pathway for Mahomes to be considered the greatest quarterback of all time is to win three in a row. If you have three in a row but five rings, is that greater than what Brady accomplished? You can make a strong argument that it is, especially because I think Mahomes is going to have almost all of the important passing records when he's done. I think Mahomes is going to throw for more touchdown passes than any player in football history. I think he's going to throw for more yards than any player in NFL history. I think that Mahomes is going to have a lot of either first or most of any player that we have seen. I don't know if you're going to have most championships or more Super Bowl appearances, but if on your resume you can say the only back-to-back-to-back champion, Rob, that is one of the things that he can tilt in his favor. And when his football career is over, that can be one of the points that you make on why Mahomes is the best quarterback of all time.
I think it's pretty simple for me about how Mahomes can ever surpass Brady. He has to do something Brady never did. Because right now, if Mahomes and Brady end up with the same amount of Super Bowls, you know what the conversation is going to be. Brady beat him head-to-head. He beat him head-to-head in the prime of Mahomes, in the Super Bowl and in the AFC title game. Sorry, Brady. I think if Mahomes has one title more than Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. That head-to-head is going to be a trump card. I think for the national talking heads and the Skip Baylesses of the world, they'll argue about this in 10, 15, 20 years. Brady will always beat Mahomes because of those head-to-head moments. Unless Mahomes can do something historical, Brady never did. And it can't be historical in the fact of it can be, oh, just different era, more passing. It has to be something historical that Brady had a shot to do. And the answer to that question is three-peat. Tom Brady never did it. And there were a lot of teams Tom Brady was on that were good enough to three-peat. They had what? A couple back-to-backs in their run. They beat the Eagles and they beat the Panthers back-to-back. Couldn't finish the job and go back-to-back-to-back. There have been moments where the Patriots had a chance to do this. The Patriots, which are the greatest dynasty me and you have ever seen to date, they never did this. So if Mahomes is ever going to be argued about between Stephen A. Smith and whoever's going to be next to him at that time, Shannon Sharp, whoever, the only way Patrick Mahomes can be considered, oh yeah, he's better, and not just a sect like the LeBron fans, I'm talking like unanimously felt is better, is by doing something historical Tom Brady never did, and a three-peat is the easiest path to that. If he fails to do that, he has to blow him out of the water, Super Bowl numbers-wise to me, because the head-to-head matchup is going to matter so much in the eyes of those people.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the difference in the resume test and the eye test. If your argument is Mahomes is the greatest quarterback I've seen off the eye test, you will not hear any complaining to me. If you say that Mahomes at his best plays the position better than anybody you've ever seen, I'm with you. Brady wins on the resume test. And if Mahomes wins five of these things and goes to nine of them, hey, that's great. We will have more championship parades. We'll have more great winters. I'm all for it if that's the case. I think you're going to have a tough time convincing people that that person is the greatest quarterback of all time. But settling in as the second best quarterback of all time is not bad. That puts you ahead of Joe Montana and ahead of everybody else that we have ever seen play this position. So these are first world problems to have. We're talking about, I think he's already top five. I think you can make an argument that he's already top three. I think you have to put Patrick Mahomes ahead of Peyton Manning. As great as Peyton Manning was, I think you have to put Mahomes ahead of him based off what he's accomplished so far in his career. I think you got to put him ahead of John Elway and what he accomplished in his career. So if you want to make a Mahomes is already top three argument, I am ready to have that conversation with you. The only people I am ready to definitively put him behind are Joe Montana or Tom Brady. But his story is not written yet. Patrick Mahomes isn't 30 years old yet, so he's still obviously got a lot more football to play. But as you sit on the verge, on the cusp of a very important season, I think that's something to note for this year. It is funny how this game, to me, really highlights sort of the state of the AFC. You have one quarterback that has all the postseason accolades and all the team accomplishments that you can have. And then on the other side with Lamar, you have a team that has been very good in the regular season, a team that has been as tough, has won as much as almost any team in the National Football League, but have really, really fallen short in the games that matter most. Like, I keep hearing that Marcus Spears cut play in my head this week because I think that's the cut that sort of defines where we are right now in the National Football League. This guy, number 15 on the Chiefs, he is stopping the rest of you guys' blessings and stopping you from being champions.
Patrick Mahomes makes every conversation diluted because he's there. Because he's there for the Kansas City Chiefs and what he has the ability to do, not only in the regular season, but in the playoffs. And the reason why people are so soured, because, and it's not because the Ravens were a good team. I thought the Ravens were the best team in the NFL last year. It was because the Kansas City Chiefs were not the team that we thought had grown accustomed to. It's because of the struggles that we saw them have as to why we went up on the Baltimore Ravens. Patrick Mahomes in this era is costing a lot of really good players opportunities mm-hmm. to win Super Bowls who normally mm-hmm. would in this era. Now, so that true. Doesn't mean they can't overcome it. But the bottom line is, man, you have to go through 15. And we found out last year, it don't matter if it's in Kansas City or if it's on the road. You got to go through him to win a Super Bowl.
That's right. That was Marcus Spears on ESPN talking about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's just That's the foundation of where we are. The only players to win Super Bowls other than Mahomes during this era have been Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford. We talk a lot about the young quarterbacks in the league, and there's a lot of young, really talented quarterbacks in the National Football League. None of them under the age of 30 have a championship, just Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen is amazing. Joe Burrow is amazing. Lamar Jackson is amazing. All of these guys are playing catch up. And this race at this point, it's already been decided. You can call it now at this point. If you got three rings and four appearances and three Super Bowl MVP awards and two regular season MVP awards, I don't care what Lamar does the rest of the way. I don't care what Josh Allen does the rest of the way. I don't care what any of these guys do the rest of the way. This conversation is over. We need to stop comparing Patrick Mahomes to the other current quarterbacks in the league and start comparing him to ghosts. Start comparing him to history and where Joe Montana was at this stage in his career and where Tom Brady was. Those are the only players I'm interested in comparing to Patrick Mahomes at this stage in his career. Coming up on the other side, we talked about one great player, the quarterback. Let's talk about two great players on the Chiefs and the Ravens. We'll tell you how Derrick Henry has done against the Chiefs. He obviously is going to be a player they need to stop. We'll also talk about Travis Kelce, who has cooked the Ravens in their appearances. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, let's go through some of the numbers, shall we? Let's start with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce has been very, very good against the Baltimore Ravens. I added it up. Travis Kelce, in his games against the Baltimore Ravens, he has 44 catches for 551 yards and 3 touchdowns. Very simply put, they do not match up well against Travis Kelce. Now, that is the case for a lot of teams, but very specifically, he has cooked the Ravens in their matchups. He hurt them in the first half of their game last year. He was really good. And just anytime these two teams go up against each other, it poses a serious problem for the Ravens. We're just talking about in 6 games. In 6 games, 44 catches, 551 yards, and 3 touchdowns for Travis Kelce. He had over 100 yards in the playoffs. Their last regular season matchup, he had 7 catches for 109 yards and a touchdown. This is a game where if you are Baltimore, what would you consider to be a success against Travis Kelce? Probably holding him to 5 for 60, maybe 5 for 65. Rob, are you putting Kyle Hamilton on him the whole time? I think that's your best bet in trying to cover him. Now, you're going to take Kyle Hamilton out of some other things that he could be doing. I think Kyle Hamilton's one of the better safeties in the National Football League. I actually think that's your best bet if you're Baltimore, that I'm having him just shadow Travis Kelce around, and we are willing to live with any of the other options, but we cannot continue to let Travis Kelce be Patrick Mahomes' safety blanket and just eat in the middle of the field the way that he has.
Real quick, I don't think this is breaking news sounder worthy, but Adam Schefter is tweeting out, hours before the opener, the Chiefs have reached a contract extension with Noah Gray. Noah Gray is now gets a 3-year, $18 million extension with the Kansas City Chiefs with $10.1 million fully guaranteed. You were talking about tight ends. I think that's nowhere. The Chiefs are locking up tight end two for the next 3 years at $18 million with $10.1 million fully guaranteed. So, can safely say I didn't see that coming, but Noah Gray in the fold for the next 3 years.
Yeah,
does this surprise you? Because they drafted Wiley to be the heir apparent, and now Wiley's tight end three for the next 3 to 4. What's the plan here?
Yeah, that's just not that much money to me in like an NFL sense. Like giving your second or third tight end. Now, I mean, I agree with you. It says that he's your second tight end and not your third tight end. But giving him $3 million a year over the next 3 years is just not really that much money to me. So I hear you. Like, that's not a contract that we were really expecting, not a contract that we were really talking about when it came to Noah Gray. That's a nothing kind of move to me. I'm not saying it's insignificant. I mean, like, in the big picture of you didn't overpay, you didn't underpay for Noah Gray. You got a good player at a fair price. Where if an injury happens to Travis Kelce, you're not expecting him to be an all pro. But if you lost Travis Kelce for a couple of weeks, Noah Gray can get you 40, 50 yards with the right targets and the right opportunities. I like Noah Gray. I actually think he's one of the players they don't utilize enough on this team. Last year, when they had their problems offensively, I wanted them to really go to a two tight end set and really utilize his ability. I actually want to see more of Noah Gray. Obviously, they feel very similar. They signed him to this extension.
Yeah, the money part's not the part to me. The odd thing to me is just, I mean, locking up tight end two and you just have a rookie in tight end three. I mean, maybe they're just an extra layer of protection, because we know this offseason Travis Kelce talked about, like, I think the quote was, I consider retirement probably more than anyone. I want to keep playing, so on and so forth. But it seems like they have their, you know, long-term plans in the tight end room locked in. It's a Gray-Wiley combination for at least the next 3-4 seasons, because with a 3-year extension, that means Wiley and Gray are both under contract with the Chiefs for the exact same amount of time.
I mean, it's also preparing yourself for, I mean, the end of Travis Kelce. Like, you at least feel a little bit of security. You've got Noah Gray locked in. You've got a rookie that you like. Who knows what the free agency market is going to look like? I don't know many people that think that Travis Kelce is going to play further than at least 3 years at the absolute most. The way that his contract is structured, I think we're talking about 2 more years of Travis Kelce. So he knows the system. You like him. This is rewarding a player, again, from a salary cap perspective. This is nothing. Like, guaranteed money-wise, what you gave him up front, I'm guessing this is going to be very flexible on the cap for you to continue to build depth with a player that you like. This is a good contract.
I mean, it's a great deal for everyone involved. Like, no complaints for me. It's just, I can safely say I did not see him being part. I thought when they drafted Jarrett Wiley, that was the end of the Noah Gray era. Like, that's just, it felt like they had found a new heir apparent. And what did Nate Taylor tell us this summer? I mean, he looks like him. He feels like him. It could be Travis Kelce 2.0 when talking about Jarrett Wiley. And now you go and lock up Noah Gray. Now, maybe he's still tight end two behind Wiley one day, but just news I didn't expect to see today. But to answer your question initially, we're talking tight end Travis Kelce.
You know what? The breaking news doesn't hit nearly as much when we have no sounder for Noah Gray's deal. You know, just we're talking about Travis Kelce and we took an abrupt stop to talk about Noah Gray's deal. It just don't hit the same without the music for Noah Gray.
It was Chiefs news on a Chiefs game day. If you're sitting at your tailgate right now and you got us locked in, I'm sure everyone out there in their Noah Gray jerseys can breathe easy that he's
running,
a Chief.
You're running around showing people your phone. Hey, you guys see what happened.
I imagine right now, if you were in line, actually the gates open at 2:30. If you got your tailgate going and you're hanging out with your buddies, I promise you're saying, everyone come here. I got big tight end news. It's Noah Gray.
You want to get back to Travis Kelce?
We
talk way too much about Noah Gray today. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do think Kyle Hamilton, they're going to put Kyle Hamilton on him. And I'm fascinated by that because, Carrington, Kyle Hamilton may have been the best safety in football last year. Like, Kyle Hamilton was awesome. I know Chiefs fans really only saw him in the one game sample size when he played against the Chiefs, but Kyle Hamilton was sensational. And you know what? He was the opposite of that in the AFC title game. Travis Kelce did really well against the, quote, Kelce stopper and Kyle Hamilton. So I'm curious tonight if the Ravens say, no, we still trust our guy because over a 17-plus game sample size, Kyle Hamilton was sensational. We're trusting Kyle. Or do the Ravens say, you know what? It didn't work. Let's try something new on Travis Kelce. But if the Kyle Hamilton we saw against George Kittle or the Kyle Hamilton we saw last year against, you know, the Rams or another good team the Ravens plays tonight, those Travis Kelce numbers might start to look a little more pedestrian, but I think you have to put Kyle Hamilton on Travis Kelce if you're the Ravens, right? I mean, what other options do you have? You're not putting a linebacker on him.
Yeah, I don't really think you have a lot of good options if you were them either. I mean, just last year, I mean, he destroyed them in the postseason. I mean, in the postseason game, he caught every pass that was thrown his way. He had 116 yards. Like, they just didn't do anything with him. Now, I thought they adjusted pretty well in the second half against Travis Kelce. I thought they adjusted pretty well in the second half just overall to the Chiefs and what they did offensively. But, I mean, if that's the key, I mean, it's funny how many teams over the course of these last 4 or 5 years have thought they have had the Travis Kelce stopper, like Darwin James for the Los Angeles Chargers. He's been kind of one of those players where, hey, we're going to have him shadow. I mean, the Ravens think they have that person in Hamilton, and it just, that is not the way that it turned out, at least last time that these two teams played each other. So that is the Kansas City Chiefs side of thing. Let's get to the Ravens side of it with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has also been pretty good against the Kansas City Chiefs in their matchups. I was surprised to see that his over-under on rushing totals was so low. Like, I feel like I'm missing something on why his number is so low. I mean, the last three regular season games for Derrick Henry against Kansas City, 17 carries for 115 yards, 29 carries for 86 yards, and 23 carries for 188. I don't really see a scenario in which the Chiefs hold Derrick Henry to like 45 yards rushing today. Like, maybe I'm missing something here. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I'm not saying that Derrick Henry is just going to beat you over the top and he's going to have 205 yards rushing in this game, but I'm surprised that the total for Derrick Henry in this game is as low as it is. I saw it at 58.5 in this game. I don't really see a scenario, just because of usage too, for the most part. I don't really see a scenario in which Derrick Henry runs the ball for 41 yards in this game. That'd be very, very surprising to me.
Does Vegas think with that number that Derrick Henry's washed? Like, that's what they have to think.
100%.
Because both J.K. Dobbins, who I don't know if he technically counts the running back last year for the Ravens, because he didn't really play, and Gus Edwards are gone. Like, it is no longer, you know, a committee of guys in Baltimore, and Lamar Jackson can kind of plug and play, and his running ability makes the guy whoever's behind him viable. They now have a true running back one, and those numbers make it sound like, at least at your favorite sports book, they make it sound like he's washed, and we don't believe he is going to make an impact on this game because he is, in fact, washed, which his numbers last year, like the totals look like he's washed, but like you dig into the numbers and his yards per carry was still good, and he still had a lot of the, you know, analytic numbers still showed he was a guy. So Vegas is telling you he's washed. And if you think Derrick Henry's not washed, there's a chance to make some money tonight against your book.
Yeah, that's just a little bit surprising to me. I'm a little surprised that his number is so low. So I was a little bit off. Derrick Henry's over under rush total is 65.5. Isaiah Pacheco is at 59.5. I actually think that's about
that's
right.
Really?
Yeah, that's
those
about.
Both feel low to me. 59.5 for a healthy Isaiah Pacheco. I know he was terrible, terrible in the AFC title game last year.
He was not good.
I mean, I could have said terrible for another 30 seconds. He was just abysmal.
That matters.
It does matter. But, I mean, we thought the Chiefs' O-line improved in the offseason. Like, isn't that part of the deal here? And, you know, I know Jadeveon Clowney is more, you know, name than game nowadays, but we think the Ravens took a regression in the front seven. Doesn't that feel like 59.5 is too low?
Yeah, what would you set the over-under at? I actually think that's about right. I mean, for a guy who, I mean, I don't know if you have him running for 1,000 yards this season,
that's
but
fair.
For a guy who gets about 60 to 65 yards rushing a game, on average, that probably evens out. I can't do the math off the top of my head. I'm going to guess that evens out to what they think Isaiah Pacheco is going to be over the course of the season. I actually think that's a pretty fair number for Isaiah Pacheco. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he obviously hits the over in this game when it comes to that number, but that feels about right to me. I mean, last season with Isaiah Pacheco, I mean, last year he had 9 games in which he ran for less than 70 yards. I mean, that's about right there on the cusp of what he usually is. Now, he obviously had some big games last year and they really rode him in the postseason, but yeah, that feels about right to me. Maybe a little bit higher, like 62.5, but no, that's not that off to me.
So I did the math while you were talking. Neither one of us think he's playing 17 games, being Isaiah Pacheco, so I'd use 14. Just he missed 3 games, that's kind of football happens. His over under in Vegas at 925, so I, you know, bumped it up 950 yards divided by the 14 games, about 67 yards a game. So now when you do the math of it in the totality, it does make more sense to me. I still think 59. If you think, and there are a lot of people who think the Chiefs are going to be, you know, handling business tonight. If you think the Chiefs are going to win by 2 scores, you have to take the over, though, right? Like, if you know it's a close game, don't play it. But if you have the Chiefs handling the Ravens tonight, just the game script shows they're going to run enough for that number to go the over, right? That's why I think that number is a little odd. The game script feels like Pacheco's going to get some touches.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on there. And I mean, just anybody else, I'm with you on Carson Steele. I like Carson Steele, but maybe this is a game in which he only gets 3 or 4 carries, so he's not really going to take carries away. I mean, they got Piron. His over-under on rush yards is 7.5. Basically, do you think he's going to be involved in the run game today? So if you want to take advantage of that while it's pretty low, now would be a good chance to do that. One thing that I think is pretty interesting is they got Lamar with over under on 49.5 rush yards. Like, they think Lamar is going to take off and run a couple of times in this game and really be the difference. If you're Baltimore and you were trying to figure out a game script for how you win this game, you win this game with, I would say, Lamar throwing it less than 35 times. Lamar maybe has 1 touchdown, no interceptions. You need probably 80 yards from Derrick Henry, and you need Lamar to break 1 big run. That's probably how you do it if you were them. You control the clock with Derrick Henry. Your defense plays pretty well in this game. And Lamar, we know that he is able to flip the field at any given moment. It's a 3rd and 8. They break containment. Lamar turns that 3rd and 8 into a 20-yard play down the field. You then score on that drive. I'm not sure if the Ravens win if Lamar runs for 25 yards in this game. I think you need his full complement of weapons and what he is and his full scope as a player. I think you need Lamar to kind of take off a little bit in this game. And that's one thing I don't think he did, and I don't think the Ravens did enough in the AFC Championship game. For them to only have 6 carries as a team is criminal in the AFC Championship game. And I think, at least in postseason games, Lamar just doesn't play with his instincts enough and take off and run the football. That's when he's at his most dangerous. That's when he's at his best. And that's when he's one of the most unique matchup problems in the league.
Have you seen the Washington Post quote from Lamar Jackson floating around saying that they would have won the AFC title game if his legs were good? We would have won that blank. We wouldn't have even had to throw the ball, blank throwing the ball. You know what that screams to me? The Ravens are going to come out running with Lamar. You're going to see a lot of that zone read option, whichever, you know, RPO. Chris Collins was going to love to say RPO tonight. He's going to say it so many times. But they're going to do a lot of that. If Lamar Jackson is quoted in the Washington Post saying, if my legs were good, we wouldn't have had to throw, blank throwing the ball. We would have been good to run. There's no reason to believe he's not healthy right now. It's week one. You barely play in the preseason. And if you're telling the Washington Post that, you got to think the Ravens coaching staff knows that. So, yeah, I think game script wise, that the Ravens are going to be competitive and or win. Lamar Jackson is a runner tonight. Lamar Jackson is what you saw at Louisville tonight. He is running around making plays in that zone read game. He is not drop back, three-step drop, bang guy tonight. It is run around and make plays. So I agree with you. Lamar is going to have to be a runner tonight. I'm curious if the Chiefs are ready for that. And if you are a gambler, there is a chance to make a little money if you think Lamar is going to be a successful runner tonight.
If you can fade the music up really quickly, I've got a toss-up question to ask you related to the Ravens and related to the offseason. Because, Rob, you remember last offseason, it was the offseason of the angry running back. All the running backs got franchise tag. They were doing Zooms. They were very unhappy with their contract. This offseason, we saw running backs kind of start to get paid a little bit, and guys got what we think is market value. Who do you like most in their new location? Is it Derrick Henry in Baltimore? Is it Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia? Or is it Josh Jacobs in Green Bay?
Ooh. I'm going to rule Barkley out immediately. Just toss him out because you know how I feel about Nick Sirianni. I'm not a Nick Sirianni believer. And I believe their offensive coordinator is Kellen Moore, who was the Chargers OC. And it wasn't like the Chargers were some, gangbuster running the football team last year. So I think he might be utilizing the pass game, but I think he's out. I think the answer has to be Derrick Henry. If you believe there's still something left in the tank, Derrick Henry is the best running back in a new position, especially considering the way that the Ravens stylistically, culture-wise, all those things are a run-first football team. I think it's a lean with Henry over Jacobs because I think Henry still has a little left in the tank, but it's one of those two. I discount Saquon pretty much immediately.
Yeah, I'm not on your side, at least when it comes to Saquon. I mean, I think if the Eagles win their division and kind of bounce back, I think they do it because Saquon returns to form. I think when he is healthy, he's the second best running back in the NFL behind Christian McCaffrey. So I think if all things are even, I actually think that it's Saquon Barkley. Henry's a really interesting choice because of how the Ravens play and the style that they want to play. We know that Baltimore is committed to running the football, and I also think a lot of those scenarios in which Lamar has usually taken off, you now got somebody that he trusts that can hand the ball off to. Both players are in a very unique situation. Derrick Henry has never been in an offense quite like the one that the Baltimore Ravens had, and Lamar has never had a run option the way that he has now with Derrick Henry. They've had some good options, but J.K. Dobbins could never stay healthy. Gus Edwards battled with injuries. Justice Hill felt like he was a little bit of a flash in the pan with them. You now got a legitimate workhorse back that you can give the ball to 250 times over the course of the year. You try to keep Lamar healthy to try to get yourself over the hump. I understand why all three of these teams made this move. Philadelphia took a step back with the run game last year. You go get Saquon Barkley. Baltimore, I think it is a direct response to how they played against Kansas City. The text line is saying, well, they got down in the game. That's why they didn't run. Baltimore's best chance of winning is not running it six times.
They're also only down one score. Like, one score is not, they weren't down 24-0.
I don't care what the time and situation is. That's not how Baltimore beats people. You know, Baltimore's way of beating you is controlling the line of scrimmage and running the football. And calling six design run plays is not how you beat anybody in the league. That's certainly not how you beat Kansas City. How you beat Kansas City is being fully who you are and playing an A-plus version of yourself. Not having Lamar throw it 37 times and running it 16 the way that they did last year in the AFC Championship game. So I think them getting Derrick Henry is a direct answer to that and getting back to foundation. You don't go get Derrick Henry to throw the ball all over the field. You go get Derrick Henry because he's a back that gets stronger as the game progresses. He gets stronger after his 15th, 20th carry. He's a guy you kind of got to feed to get going, and the more chances you give him to touch the rock, he is capable of breaking one of those and really flipping the field and turning the game over. So I think he's one of the more interesting free agent signings in the entire National Football League. After Kirk Cousins, I actually will put Derrick Henry there at number two. If this experiment works the way that I think it could work, you could be talking about a real dangerous run team come January, and it's going to be a really tough out in the Super Bowl. That's a team that's well coached. We think they can run the ball effectively, and they play really good defense. It's always going to be a battle if that's a team that you play in the postseason. Coming up on the other side, we are off a little bit earlier today. You can catch the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. You don't even need to turn it. The Chiefs pregame is going to be on coming up in about 20 minutes. I'm going to give you a couple keys to the game today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful Thursday as we get you ready for Chiefs and Ravens. Remember, you do not have to turn the dial. You can keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan. Right when we get off, coming up in about 10 minutes, it will be Chiefs pregame that will obviously take you up to the game, and the game will be heard right here on 96.5 The Fan, so you don't have to go anywhere. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan. Let me give you an important stat heading into this game. Now, I understand that the Chiefs are drastically different than they were a season ago, but it is important to note that they did not score in the second half against the Baltimore Ravens. They went 9 straight possessions in the AFC Championship game without scoring. It wasn't that long ago. The Chiefs are not that different offensively, in my opinion, where we can't take anything from this game and apply it to tonight's game. What is important to note that the Chiefs, they have to stay out of third and long scenarios against this defense. Last year, so in the AFC Championship game, so earlier this year, they had 8 third downs that they needed to get 6 or more yards. Rob, they only converted 1 of them in the game. On the third downs that were fewer than 6 yards, so 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, etc., they were 6 for 8. Now, it goes without saying, your chances of converting shorter third downs are going to help your opportunity to move the sticks. You don't want to be in that spot against this defense where you're in 3rd and longs, 3rd and 11s, 3rd and 10s. A big part of that is going to be their offensive line can't commit penalties. Now, their offensive line was really good in the postseason when it came to penalties, but Jawan Taylor is back. They got a rookie left tackle who's going to be seeing his first start and going up against one of the tougher defenses in the league. The first stat that I want to give you guys when it comes to this game is in the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs were 1-8 on third downs when it was 3rd and 6 and longer. They were 6 for 8 when it was less than that. Can you do well on 1st and 2nd down and put yourself in manageable down and distances on 3rd downs? If you do, I think the Chiefs are going to score in this game. I expect their offense to be much better. I think we're going to see at least one play where they try to show you Xavier Worthy and why they drafted him. We know enough about Andy Reid and how he draws up plays. I think early on in this ballgame, like in the first 2 possessions, I think you see 1 shot to Xavier Worthy that you at least try. If it works, great. You get a 40-yard play. It gets the Arrowhead crowd hyped up, and you move the sticks. Or you don't. It's an incompletion, but it's then in the back of everybody's mind that that's a play that you have to look out for. I think you're going to see that early on in this game. It's worth it to me to see the Chiefs at least take a shot in this game. I think it's important to note that the Chiefs defense, they held the Ravens to 81 rushing yards the last time that these two teams played each other. Now, the Ravens didn't run the ball a bunch. They only had 16 attempts in that game, but the Chiefs defense held up pretty strong against the run. I think the Ravens, kind of like how I said with the Chiefs, how they're going to come out with something to prove and try to take a shot early with Xavier Worthy. You got a fully healthy Lamar Jackson and a fully healthy Derrick Henry in this game. They're going to try to run the football and try to establish the run. So I think they're running it way more than 16 times in this game. I think they're running it 25 to 30 times in this game. How do you hold up? How does that linebacker group play? How does your front four hold up in this game? Baltimore got away from who they were the last time that these two teams played each other. I don't think they get away from what makes the Ravens the Ravens. They are a ball control, run the football effectively, control the line of scrimmage, grind you into dust, and play really good defense. If you are planning on coming to Kansas City and Lamar Jackson's going to throw for 300 yards against this defense, I think it is another losing effort. Their best chance to win is to keep it on the ground with Lamar, keep it on the ground with Derrick Henry, use Zay Flowers on the outside, and throw it over the middle with Mark Andrews, Rob. That's how Baltimore wins this game.
I mean, Baltimore basically has to commit to what they were for 20 games last year. And they have to hope the Chiefs' offense is more last year-ish than we think, because as much as we're excited for the new wide receiver room and all the things, if the Chiefs' offense looks the way it did last year, which was sluggish at times, and the Ravens commit to what they do best, I think the Ravens can win tonight. But even if the Ravens do everything you said, I think part of their game flow and their strategy has to be, we think the Chiefs' offense is the same as last season. Because even if the Ravens had done the game plan they wanted and the game plan they dreamed of, what they worked all week on in the AFC title game last year, part of that game plan was built around the idea that the Chiefs' offense was not the Chiefs' offense of old. It wasn't, you know, the Legion of Zoom in Kansas City. It was the Legion of Drops with MVS. Like, it was part of that run the ball game plan we talked about last year is because the Chiefs' offense was regressed. I think even if the Ravens played the game script you laid out, the Chiefs' offense has to be the same as last year for the Ravens to have that plan work.
Yeah, you and I are just, we're just different on running the football and I guess the effectiveness of that. And that's just one of our fundamental differences, at least when we're just talking about the NFL. I mean, let's not kid ourselves about what the Ravens do really well and what made them the best regular season team last year in the National Football League. Like, it was them running the football and them being the absolute best at it. I mean, last year in the regular season, the Ravens were number one in running the football. They ran it for 156 yards a game. They ran it for 81 in the game. So if you take away 70 yards of offense and now you got to try to figure it out, that's how their offense stalled and that's how Kansas City won this game. I think Kansas City wins a grinded out game. I'm not picking against Kansas City when they're fully healthy like they are now. I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game 27-24. I think it's close late. I think these two teams are fairly even. I think home field is the difference. I think Mahomes is also the difference in this game. It just makes more plays to win it. I got 27-24 Kansas City.
I think both offense are going to be sluggish tonight. Both defenses get ahead early. I think the Chiefs offense is better this year, but not better tonight. 24-17 Chiefs over the Ravens.
We will be back tomorrow to break down this thing. Keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. You don't need to turn it. We got Chiefs pregame coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.